Can I interest you in a little 37 degrees at kickoff, winds gusting, rain, 91% chance of precipitation, pearl off football weather. That's what I'm talking about. Cleveland Browns hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. Browns are 2-8, so this season is completely off the rails. Kevin Stefanski is on the hot seat. Steelers 8-2.
No, you can't interest me in this. This is the worst game of the year.
Oh, come on. Football weather, dude.
Single worst game of the year. The Browns are beyond unwatchable. The Steelers are the least watchable 8-2 team. But they're going to just run, throw a bomb to George Pickens, run. But they are interesting teams big picture. This game is going to stink. This is going
to
be...
This could be fun. Chris Boswell can't kick 5 field goals to win the game when you have these kind of wins coming off Lake Erie.
We're talking about Al Michaels' order at a restaurant by the second quarter, Maggie. I'm telling you right now, there's nothing fun about this game. The Browns are just a joke. Yeah. But the Steelers even... I want to talk about the Steelers for a second. They're 8-2. And last week on the show, you said you believe they're a bona fide Super Bowl contender.
I do.
Tell me what is different about this Steelers team than the Steelers team we've seen for the last 8 years that has made the playoffs but flamed out. I feel like they're the same version of the Steelers, and I'm not sure what the win is that I see this year that makes me think they're any different than last year's team, the team before that, the team before that, or the team before that.
Listen, I might not be able, they just beat the Ravens. I mean, if you want like a signature win, but they do that a lot, so yeah. I get it. But here's why I think that the Steelers are a bona fide Super Bowl contender. This is a team whose defense is definitely good enough to win you a Super Bowl. You will agree with me there. And I can give you every metric under the sun of their top 5, top 2, top everything. I could stat you to death, or you could just watch the games and you can see that the Pittsburgh Steelers have a Super Bowl quality defense.
Yeah, did last year too.
Okay, so what about the offense? Well, I would say that Russell Wilson, in his, so far in limited action, his connection with George Pickens is already better than any quarterback has had with George Pickens. His targets and receptions are almost double what they were with any other quarterback. So you've unlocked a weapon that is a legitimate weapon. Your running game is one of the top running games in the league, okay? You've got two rookies on your offensive line. So do you think they're going to get better or are they going to get worse? They're going to get better as the season goes on and as they get more experience. And you have two viable options, but obviously Russell Wilson's a starter, no doubt. And then here's my number one reason why I think the Steelers can turn themselves into a Super Bowl contender on offense. Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator for the Steelers, Pearl, when he was with the Tennessee Titans, he actually presided over the number one and number two ranked red zone offenses in Tennessee. Okay, they had Derrick Henry. Obviously, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but guess who's the number one red zone offense in the league right now? Baltimore with Derrick Henry.
Okay, but you have a great running game in Pittsburgh, okay? The more they figured out the red zone woes, and I believe they can figure those out. I don't think Russell Wilson is going to be 30% in the red zone for the rest of the season. I think they're still workshopping things to the point where they're going to start peaking at the right time. And I do think they're going to start working Justin Fields into these short yardage packages and into the red zone. There's more to this offense than what we've seen. Stout defense, more to the offense. That is why they are Super Bowl contenders.
I didn't hear an answer.
That is the answer.
Make it succinct. What is different about this team?
The offense has not reached their ceiling yet. The defense is already there.
So is it Russell? So you're saying Russell Wilson?
The combination. Wilson unlocking Pickens, having a good run game. I told you
They have same running backs, same run game.
Yeah.
Basically kind of the same offensive line. I just think
they have two new pieces. This is a good offensive line.
Yeah. You have to take a stand. I think you want to say Wilson. Say Wilson.
Wilson unlocking Pickett.
Yeah.
And listen, did Russell Wilson throw a bad interception last week? Of course. Yes, he did. He's not going to be a perfect quarterback, but he's better than what we saw in Denver.
Yeah.
Somewhere in between Seattle and Denver, he's not washed. We thought he may have been. In fact, you actually always stood up for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, no, I like Russ. But here's the thing. I just think that they're the 20th ranked offense. They just feel exactly the same as the teams that we've seen in the last run.
Wilson is better than Pickett and Mason Rudolph.
He definitely is. Well, who was even the end of the Big Ben era? Big Ben's numbers were fine. Like, I just think that there's something about that team. They're just not elite. Like, part of it is if they were in the NFC, then we might have a conversation. But I can't see them winning a playoff game against Kansas City, Buffalo, and honestly, I don't think they're going to beat Baltimore 3 times. They'll probably beat them again. So I just don't see them in that conversation with Kansas City and your Buffalo Bills. There just seems like a level where I just worry that that offense is not good enough. Same reason I didn't like them the year before that. Same reason, what's the last time they won a playoff game? It's been a while.
Yeah, since 2000, or not, later than that.
2016 or 17, yeah.
It's been a while. Anyway, here's the thing. That was the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. It's been since 2000. Here's the thing. Can I tell you that they... You know, are you going to feel super confident? Would they be favored going into a game against Kansas City or a game against Buffalo? Probably not. But Kansas City's offense is not amazing right now either. They are also living on their defense.
Oh, yeah. Tell yourself that. That's
okay.
Yeah, wait till the postseason.
Wait till the postseason.
Their defense was, their offense was awful last year, and then they came, it got hot at the end of the year and were ridiculous in the playoffs.
But you're saying there's no path. And I'm telling you that if it's defense for defense, I will put the Pittsburgh Steelers up against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right, but they had a great defense last year. But here's the problem. They didn't have a chance.
If you're just going to say, like, no one may beat the Chiefs. It just might be the Chiefs world that we're living in for the next decade, so I might not have a good answer for you there. But Buffalo has found extremely creative ways to lose playoff games. Baltimore has found extremely creative ways to lose playoff games. Those and Houston Texans, those, these are not sure things to me in the postseason. Kansas City's the only sure thing, and they might be Mike Tyson punch out at the end of the video game and you never get past them, or your defense disrupts Patrick Mahomes and you finally conquer it. I have nothing for you when it comes to Kansas City. They just might be the best team we've seen since the Patriots.
I can't really see Pittsburgh beating Buffalo in a playoff game because I think in a playoff game, Josh Allen's just like, he's going to put his body on the line. I see Buffalo winning that game, too. And by the way, I really think Baltimore is going to be a factor in the playoffs, even though they're not playing great now.
Yeah.
And they
their defense isn't playing great.
They obviously have a problem with Mike Tomlin, but I just think the AFC, the top of the AFC is really good. And I don't know why. And the Chargers are going to be a factor, too, I have to admit. Even though the Steelers did beat the Chargers, Herbert was banged up for that game already. And the Chargers are finding themselves. I think this AFC is brutal, and I think you're going to have to be so good to come out of there. I don't see the Steelers as a complete team, despite beating some bad teams, and they're beating some good teams, but it's just not, I'm not seeing it. You know what I mean, right? Like, it's just like, I eyeball that team, I'm like, I don't know. It feels a lot like the Mason Rudolph Steelers.
Well, I mean, their
offense just is not putting up big numbers.
Listen, if you're looking at who's the team that's been the most impressive in the NFL, it's far and away the Detroit Lions, and I think everyone is kind of a second place to that, right? If you're looking for a team that's going to be blowing teams out by 30 points and looks like this juggernaut, well, that's not going to be the Steelers. That's not how they're going to win this thing.
They're going to have to grind it out.
They're going to have, and that's okay. They live there. This is like that, what was that quote we played from Bane the other day, EJ? Like, you live in the darkness. I was born in it. Steelers want to play this game.
But they've been playing this game for 8 years, and it gets you a lot of W's. It gets you above 500, and it gets you nowhere in the playoffs. This game is not working for them.
Well, I do think that Russ is an upgrade. And again, if they can work in Justin Fields in the red zone, then now you got something cooking here. Because if Russ is still going to be 30% in the red zone, then you're going to have a problem. Russ, a shorter quarterback, can be hard to see when you get down there. But here's the thing. If you have actually a viable option with their legs, it can really keep teams off balance. And by the way, another small thing here. Chiefs just lost their kicker, Harrison Butker, on IR. Steelers kicker might be one of the best now. Chris Boswell is like a sure thing in a season where kickers now are an adventure. So those are my reasons.
I mean, it's okay. I'm looking at the Super Bowl odds, and it's obviously the Chiefs and Bills.
Yeah.
Then the Ravens. But the Steelers are right after the Ravens, but there's a big drop. The Ravens are plus 800. The Steelers are plus 1800. Mm. It doesn't seem, I think.
But they're fourth?
They're fourth
in the AFC,
but they're nowhere close to the top three. And the funny thing is the Texans are really not in this mix right now because I don't think anyone thinks they're going to be healthy. Regardless, it's a distant fourth. I think those three, I don't see the Steelers breaking into that conversation, which is funny because they keep on beating the Ravens. It's just the eyeball test. I mean, they'll probably kill the Browns tonight, but the Browns have given up on the season. So again, they're going to get these wins. A regular season wins for the Steelers are just, I don't know what to make of them because I've been fooled. I actually haven't been fooled. They were 10-7 last year. No one thought that team was good. But regardless, like he wins every, he's built to Mike Tomlin, that is built to win regular season games. I just don't see this formula where this is going to work in the playoffs.
855-212-4227. Do you see the Steelers as a viable Super Bowl contender? Other part, I see our very own Andrew Kaplan also in the chat. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. Prof and I are matching again today. We do this every once in a while. It's not on purpose.
I'm more of a navy. You're more of a black.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Thank God.
He said, I'm with Perloff on this. It's a terrible game. Guys, you're not seeing the possible comedy of what could happen tonight.
No,
you don't want Jameis Winston in swirling winds and cold with no left tackle. Do you realize the creative interceptions that this dude might throw tonight?
I don't like bad football, Maggie, which is what we're going to see.
Guys, live a little. I mean, that's usually my take. I always want everyone to play in a dome, but when it's not my team playing, let's get like sloppy.
It's the opposite of how I feel.
You don't want to. Listen, Perloff just said it. Brown season is over. 2-8. Stefanski on the hot seat or whatever. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. Let's see some weird football. Who's with me?
Not at
Alex
all.
Alex in the back, in the front?
Yeah, I just love Jameis Winston's interviews. like his unwavering faith.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the Monday.
It's infectious.
You have, what are the other primetime games? You got the Eagles-Rams and I think the Chargers-Ravens. Like, the problem is, like, there's nothing at stake here. Like, the Browns aren't going to even try tonight. And the Steelers are not that watchable. You describe everything you described about them. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm about to fall asleep hearing this. Wow, they might go to Justin Fields in the red zone for
Guys,
a six-yard run.
Come on.
This is
exciting stuff.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, yeah, the Steelers are just, oh, my God, they're going to grind out a Mike Tomlin win. I do not need to see this at all.
If you are not excited about Jameis Winston possibly throwing for 300 yards but also three interceptions in the first half, no. I mean, we're just not friends.
Browns are
maybe it's a Thursday night thing. I just feel like Thursday night games just never deliver.
Well, everyone's on a short week. Everyone's all banged up. They can't practice that week generally that hard. So everything's like a little bit sloppier, but man.
Have you watched a Browns game yet this year?
Yeah.
Like who?
Like which ones?
Yeah, like why?
I watched them in New Orleans. Everyone's dapping up Jameis Winston like he was the prodigal son coming home.
The other thing is it's sad. Nick Chubb is not the same human being that Nick Chubb was. There's really no reason. I'm telling you, the Browns are as non-watchable team as there is in league right now. And the Steelers, for a winning team, I mean, come on. This is not going to be fun, Mag. They're going to be
you guys make it
Najee
sound like it's
Harris
a homework
to the right.
Assignment. It's a
Najee Harris
game.
To the left.
Kind of feels like one.
It's not a homework assignment. Yeah. This is fun. Get into it. Rain, wind, Cleveland, Ohio. Put a little respect.
None of those things have been described as fun.
EJ, what?
Rain, wind, and Cleveland? No, not fun.
EJ, is there any in-season tournament stuff going on today? I might jump on that one.
Tomorrow. Fridays.
Maybe catch up. Oh, the Penguin?
Definitely catch up on the Penguin. That's some good stuff.
I'm totally down with that.
You guys are like, you're going to be flipping through looking for house hunters.
Deadpool versus the new Deadpool Wolverine movie is now free on Disney. So I might do that tonight.
Can you put up a poll? Would you rather, are you going to watch Browns, Steelers, or anything else? Because I disagree. I think you guys are going to find yourself into this game.
There's no chance. Have you watched the Steelers? They are the most boring team. They are going to hand the ball off to those two running backs until the game is over. It's going to be like, wait, this just started with like two shots to George Pickens. Just text me when Pickens is one-on-one, and I'll tune in for those games.
Okay.
They are really, really hard to watch. And the Browns, I don't know what to do with the Browns.
The Browns don't.
By the way, this like I think honestly, the one person who's going
to
enjoy this game is Deshaun Watson. He's going to be look. It wasn't all me. The rest of his team is terrible too.
Yeah, well, he's going to be nice and dry.
Yeah,
warm.
Yeah.
Probably is he even in the stadium? I don't know.
I have no idea. Is he ever going to play quarterback there? No one knows anymore.
Definitely not playing for the Browns.
By the way, the other team that probably likes this is the New York Jets because they say, hey, look at the Browns.
They Stop paid talking about us for
a minute. They paid Deshaun Watson $220 million. At least we only paid our guy $170. it's a good try, Maggie. That was a nice effort. But
listen, I'm not on the hook for Amazon. They give me nothing.
I'm
just scouting, and I'm looking at the Steelers, and I'm thinking, I don't know how much of a litmus test this game is, probably not, but I want to see how this looks.
I want Herbie to start breaking down the Indiana-Ohio State game in the second quarter. I do not want to hear Herbie even trying NFL. Like, get into the playoffs. I don't want to hear you try and sell this game.
It does feel like a homework assignment for him sometimes.
Yeah.
Because the college is just, there's such a joy.
Yeah.
It just doesn't really translate as much. Can I give you a stat, though, that may make this a tiny bit more interesting? Again, I'm not on the hook for Amazon. I'm not caping for them. But I didn't know this until I read it in The Athletic, so thank you. Cleveland has won 8 straight Thursday night football home games. And listen, it's not like they've had these great quarterbacks. Like if you Baker, if you want to say that, it's not like something drastically changed.
Okay,
now I got you.
No, there's this reality show on Amazon Prime. It's called Luxury Yacht. And all they do is take you through luxury yachts. There's a full episode on Shad Khan, the Jags owner's yacht.
Mm.
It's the most incredible yacht you've ever seen. I suggest people check this out when this game gets out of control.
That's going to make me dislike Shad Khan.
He has, in the middle of the yacht, he has a 200-foot like screen that plays Jags highlights all 24 hours a day.
How do they have 24 hours worth of Jag highlights? Like, it's the same highlight.
You're going back to
Tony Boselli?
You're going back to the Mark Brunell era. So I just throwing that out. If this game isn't doing for you, then you might try that one too.
Apparently,
it's got a football tie-in.
Apparently, it's your Cross on Amazon. Also really, really good.
It's also about your luxury yachts?
No, this is a thriller. This is a crime thriller.
Who's in it?
Aldis Hodge. You've seen the commercials. They show
I have
all
seen
the
those
time.
Commercials. Yeah.
Apparently, that show's really good.
He's a cop. He's like
no,
a
but that's like
cop.
That's
a detective.
Detective, pardon.
It's a serial killer thing, though, so we can't watch in front of the kids.
Your daughter loves horror movies.
Yeah, no,
she would
love young
a
one.
Serial killer
we
thing.
We don't like the young one is not into serial killer stuff. There's also the new Dune show that on HBO.
Yeah.
Dune, which I can't. Did you watch Dune?
No. But yeah, here's, you already knew the answer to that.
Yeah.
But here's the question about serial killer stuff, and now we're just onto that because apparently no one wants to talk about Brown Steelers with me. Somebody, 855-212-4227, back me up that the Steelers are a Super Bowl contender. Please, I beg of you. But can I go back to this for a second? We talked sometimes about movies you saw too early as a kid. Like you don't
like
want your
Jaws
daughter.
Or something, yeah.
Right. Stuff that really leaves like the permanent core memory scar tissue. One I saw way too early was about a serial killer. It was called Striking Distance. It was set in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
That movie with Bruce Willis, that is the least scary movie that has ever been made.
But it was about a serial killer. And
oh
that
my
was
God.
So freaky to me. Because the serial killer is killing all of Bruce Willis's past love interests. And, of course, he gets involved with Sarah Jessica Parker. And, you know.
But that's good because there's a Pittsburgh tie-in.
Exactly. Yeah. They're on the
and
river
by the way,
the boat patrol or whatever.
Did you mention Bane earlier in the segment? Also a Pittsburgh tie-in. There you go.
Well, the game's in Cleveland, but you get what I'm saying.
Well, right. But the Steelers. Yeah. I think that that's the best you can do. Do you have any Cleveland movies? Are there any movies about Cleveland football stadium?
Draft Day?
Yeah, Draft Day. There you go. Oh, well, maybe I'll pull that up. Is that available on Prime? I mean, you know my issue with the movie. I mean, you're really going to take a linebacker that high in the year 2016? Come on.
Kevin Costner wouldn't last 2 years.
You need to invest in defensive end and left tackle. And he just, no wonder the Browns have had so many issues.
Maybe Woody will call him.
Woody will call Kevin Costner?
Yeah.
Come run the Jets?
Yeah.
I mean, it'll only be the second stupidest idea they've had this season. 855-212-4227.
The only thing you got me with was that Browns, two things, the Browns win streak at home, and why is the spread so small? I do not understand.
3.5 for the road team is pretty big in the
NFL. The
Browns
just lost by 21 points to the shell of a Saints team. The Saints are like a practice squad at almost every position, and they just, Taysom Hill ran for 134 yards against the team. Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill's the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. He's not a running back, Maggie. He ran for 134 yards against them.
855-212-4227. According to Kaplan, Little Monsters messed him up as a kid. Can we also solicit that on Twitter? What was
Little
the movie
Monsters?
You
What's
saw
the...
too early and freaked you out?
What's Little Monsters? I know Little Giants and I know Monsters, Inc.
Hmm.
Little Monsters? Alex from the back, you know that one?
No, I mean, one that like kind of messed me up, but like emotionally was the Iron Giant.
I can't even watch that now.
Yeah, no way. 855-212.
I don't need that kind of sorrow in my life.
227, no. If I want to be depressed, I'll just watch the Browns. We already talked about that. Okay, you're welcome to weigh in on all of this. Are the Steelers a Super Bowl contender? What's the movie you saw too early in your life that messed you up? We have somebody who's on the verge of getting really rich, Perloff. We thought they would get super rich. Turns out it's going to be more like super duper filthy disgusting. Maybe they'll find themselves on that yacht show you like to watch. Maggie and Perloff.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. Two questions for you we put out on X. You can vote on polls. Actually, one is a poll. Will you watch the Brown Steelers tonight on Amazon Prime or anything else? And what movie scared you too much as a kid? Now, I didn't do this, but my friend Paul Papps from Dan Patrick Show has a great story where his dad took him as a tiny, tiny kid to see Jaws in the theater.
Oof. Has he been in the water since?
I'm not a fan of being in the ocean, I don't think. So that's funny. I always judge parents who take their kids because they're lazy to horror movies. Like that's like not a good thing to do.
But you should actually have some sympathy here because your daughter, your oldest daughter, Lucy, is 13, 14?
14 now, yeah.
And loves horror movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
and you watch it with her, and these are not like Halloween. It's like now scary ones.
She won't. She's like, Dad, let's watch a horror movie tonight. I'm like, no, I'm out. She's got.
You watch it alone.
I hate horror movies. I don't understand. She and there's a movie out now called The Terrifier, which is very graphic. Mm. That even she won't do. So she has. Even she has a line now. I feel like Alex from the back is a big horror movie.
No, I can't stand horror movies.
Is it? Does Lucy like the grotesque part of it?
No.
The psychological.
She likes the psychological.
Got
it.
Okay.
And she thought it was a comedy, and a lot of people do. That's a funny thing. It, the movie about the clown.
Stephen King's It. Not a comedy.
I've seen it. It does definitely has comedic elements. I mean, Bill Hader's in it too. It's not a comedy. Who's seen It?
No shot.
A lot of comedic elements. And she's like, this isn't scary at all. But then I watched it with her. I'm like, well, I'm not sleeping tonight. I mean, there's a killer clown on the loose.
Also, how about this? There was a kid, we went trick-or-treating door-to-door for like the first time. My kid's five. And so he was really into it this year. And the one kid out there who was wearing the It costume. And I'm like, thanks for nothing, dude.
Yeah.
Who's the parent who put their kid in the It costume?
Well, you're not scared of the clown when you're just walking on Halloween. If the clown is in the sewer and he reaches his hand out to your son,
what's the difference?
Say no. You know what freaked out my daughter? It's totally weird. Squid Games. She saw Squid Games.
That's not weird. Squid Games is so fraud. It's so, it's like you can't look away.
Yeah, something about the mask. We're talking about the Netflix. What do you call that show? It's not really a horror movie either. It's more of a psychological thriller.
Yeah, about people who try to survive a game show in South Korea.
Yeah, something about the guys in the mask. Everyone's wearing a mask. Freaked her out.
Yeah.
Talking about Netflix stuff, Black Mirror.
Oh.
But Black Mirror is so totally psychological. It's not like
it's
a horror
like the Twilight
movie.
Zone.
I know, but still, some of those episodes are.
Oh, they stay with you.
Yeah.
Forever. The one with the mayor? Mm.
I don't think I've even seen that one. I think I got to like half a season. I was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. After I watched that first episode, season one, I just had to sit by myself for a while in a dark room, just contemplating. The mayor of London, you guys don't remember this episode?
No, anyway, just give us a spoiler.
I can't. Cannot.
That doesn't sound scary. The mayor of London? Does he turn out to be a serial killer?
Okay. How do I say this on terrestrial radio for an audience of masses? Let me tell you this. This is the plot. It's the mayor of London. A socialite / royal, I think, gets kidnapped by somebody. And part of the ransom, and she's beloved by everyone. Be like if Kate Middleton got kidnapped or whatever. And in order to get her back, he has to engage in inappropriate something with an animal.
Oh, yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, that's basically
it's disgusting.
Every episode is some version of that, right?
Well, I know.
Like, every version is you're watching an adult film and you get caught and then somebody's holding you hostage. Yeah. That's like seven episodes.
It made me feel bad about myself. Bill in Houston's going to make us feel better about ourselves. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
We're excellent. What's up?
I'm an older guy, but when I was very young, 5 years old, my mom sat me down in front of a TV and I watched The Birds, the Hitchcock film.
Oh, freaky.
And in the attic getting attacked by...
Yeah, Tippi Hedren. It's a scary one. Yeah.
I watched Birds. Bill, I watched it recently. Don't ask. It was on cable. It is so not scary. Watch it again. It's like three pigeons attack a guy and he runs into a wall and kills himself. It is not that scary. I am telling you right now, the effects do not hold up. I'm going to call out that movie Birds right now, Bill.
The effects of Alfred Hitchcock in 1968?
Yeah. I think it was earlier than that. It was so lame. I'm like, all of a sudden, three pigeons come out of the sky. They're like, we're under attack. Wait, dude, it's just a couple birds. Go inside.
They were pecking through the window.
That was 5-year-old Bill. So
good point.
It was tough. I mean, I'm sitting out on my front porch. 10 birds are in my yard. I'm still locked and loaded. I'm gonna kill them.
If you see birds of different feathers flocking together, that's when you got to get in the car and get the hell out of there.
So
run
like
for
if
your life.
We're mid conversation with you, and a sparrow flies out. You're pulling out the Magnum 45, and this thing, he's after us.
I think, something about the Steelers. Don't you think? I mean, Russell Wilson has been an elite quarterback, and I know he's older. He doesn't move around like he used to. But I'm still thinking that as the rest of the season plays out, if he can approach the level he was in the past, they could play with the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not sure they could beat them, but I think they could be really good. But they're still really good right now, but I think they could be even better by the end of the year.
Bill, A-plus call. Thank you for that. Listen, there's a reality here, and I'm saying I think the Steelers are a legit Super Bowl contender, but there might be a reality that no one's beating the Chiefs. Like, we have to keep that as a possibility in our brains.
Yeah.
That the Chiefs are just going to three-peat, and they're the dynasty of this generation, and that's it.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's really fair to say, because there have been so many close Chiefs playoffs games that have gone either way. Your 13-second game against the Bills, the Eagles game was down to the wire. The Niners game went to overtime, third and four.
They were trailing in the first Super Bowl against the Niners.
Purdy can make a play on third and four. Like, the Niners might win that game. So, no, I think the Chiefs are designed to play close playoff games. They don't feel unbeatable. I know maybe that's going to come back to haunt me and you, because my Eagles could be back there. There's something about the Chiefs' mystique is different, because they're not going to blow anyone away. So I think the Bills are contenders. I do. I think the Ravens are contenders. I just can't get there with the Steelers yet.
855-212-4227. All right, Bogus is here. Bogus, the horror movie or movie you saw too early that left a permanent scar tissue.
It's a very little known horror movie. It's called People Under the Stairs.
I think it's another Stephen King.
Ooh, that I don't know, but it's about a guy who kidnaps kids and keeps them under the stairs in his house.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And yeah, that sounds horrifying.
Yeah, it was not. It's not good.
Wes Craven.
Ah, remember Wes Craven.
Wes Craven, Nightmare on Elm Street, right? Same guy, I think. Anyway, that's terrifying. Just the title.
Now, do you have the IMDb page open? I feel like one of the kids from Mighty Ducks is in this movie, if I'm remembering correctly.
Wow. That's a lot of range.
Yeah. He's like the lead kid under the stair. And one guy has like his
miss. I think you're right.
Yeah. And then I think the main guy, and then I watched it once and that was enough. Like, there's something wrong with his tongue. So he has a very weird voice, which adds to the creepiness of him.
Yeah. Brandon Quinton Adams is in this movie. He's the kid, but he also was the kid in the Mighty Ducks.
So he's Jesse. Here's the thing. I think every person has had this situation when you're young and you start going to sleepovers for birthday parties and stuff. And there's always that one or two people who, if you're at a sleepover birthday party, want to get the scary movie. And it's tough because it's hard to have the stones to be like, no, let's watch, Land Before Time or whatever. Yeah. And that's where you end up seeing these really scary movies.
Remember that movie Phone Booth?
With Colin Farrell?
Yeah.
That's not scary.
No, I mean, if you watch it young enough, it's wild. You're like, what the hell's going on? Kiefer Sutherland is a voice. I now love Kiefer Sutherland. I probably watched that when I was 10.
You know, kids today scary? Would be like, what's a phone booth? These things don't exist anymore.
Did you think it was a realistic scenario where you were going to be stuck in a phone booth with 24 hours?
Dude? I think I'm always terrified of situations where someone is trying to kill me.
Yeah.
So, fair.
Yeah.
Wait, so, is this where the phone rings and he picks up the phone ringing in a phone booth?
Yeah, and essentially he blackmails him into doing terrible things or watching terrible things, and if he leaves, he dies. Mm. So, great movie, I think.
So, a movie like Speed, where you were going to be on a bus and you had to keep it over 55 miles an hour. Were you scared by that?
No, that
same plot.
I never watched Speed.
Good.
But the movie I saw was My Girl. That was the one for me the kid dies.
That I don't want to talk about My Girl.
Yeah,
that I was allergic to bees as a kid, and I don't even want to go there.
Yeah, I don't like bees either.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Off looking like a young Macaulay Culkin, also definitely trash.
You know, there's a horror movie in the theaters now that a lot of people are watching. It's called Heretic with Hugh Grant. But it was described to me as, the movie Four Weddings and a Funeral? I don't know if everyone, Hugh Grant.
It's an old one, yeah.
This is an evil version of that character from Four Weddings and a Funeral, and it's supposed to be great, but scary. I know, it sounds weird. If you want to read a really scary I read a lot of horror movie Wikipedia entries, because I will do that. Read about Hereditary. Has anyone seen Hereditary?
No.
Heretic.
Yeah, no, the new one. Hereditary with, that is terrifying. Maggie, that will ruin your day for a week.
I'm not even going to read it.
You don't even read it? This is Amina Kimes thing. She reviews Wikipedia horror movies, and I totally respect that.
No, thank you. All right, well, nobody else wants to watch Brown Steelers. Bogus, are you with me? No? All right.
I mean,
what are the headlines?
It's going to be on the TV, right? No, I'm going to go to sleep.
But the problem is Amazon gets you stuck there. You can't flip on Amazon. So you might, you have to go back into the cable. It's kind of like you might be stuck with it.
Yeah. It's also my wife's birthday today. I might need to hang out with her. We'll see.
Take her out
to
dinner.
She doesn't want to watch Steelers Browns?
She doesn't.
Does she know that the Browns have won 8 straight Thursday Night Football home games?
I don't think I didn't even know that. So she didn't know that. 8 straight home. I'm going to put that in an update. 8 straight Thursday night home games?
Credit the Athletic.
Was one of them? So. Was one of them the game where Miles Garrett slammed Mason Rudolph with his helmet?
Was that a Thursday night game? It might have been.
I feel like it had to.
It was
right?
Definitely a standalone because it became huge news.
Yeah. And if you've seen how he's been talking this week, he may hit T.J. Watt with one of those helmets. He's very upset about T.J. Watt talking about not getting Defensive Player of the Year.
Mm. Oh, last year?
Yeah, because T.J. didn't show up to the award show out of protest.
Really?
He got hurt at the end of the year.
That's super petty out of T.J. Watt.
Wait, yeah, did Watt play every game, though? He missed the playoffs.
I mean, he played a lot. I mean, Watt thinks he should have won it. And this has been a whole subplot, seeing, you know, our friends Andrew Filippone and Ken Coleman fighting over this. Like, it's been very fascinating. That's been the most fascinating thing about this. Russell Wilson, Steelers Super Bowl. I like to see the Pittsburgh and Cleveland radio hosts fighting about 2023 Defensive Player of the Year awards.
I'm in for that, too. Sign me up.
It's Watt did play all 17 games last year. He just got hurt before the Bills playoff
game. He had a concussion in one of the games, but finished, I think, and then played the next week, I believe.
TJ is even in the Dick's Sporting Goods commercial that plays everything with the Watt family, TJ looks angry as all get out. And that ad, if you watch him, he looks like he's about, like, JJ is like annoyingly stuck in the Dick's Sporting Goods, and TJ looks like he's going to run in there and tackle him. He is mean.
That's also the scariest thing that Perloff's seen. It's permanent scar tissue. We're talking about horror movies that made us scared as kids. All right, folks.
Your headlines are sponsored by Mint Mobile. Switch and get half off on limited premium wireless at mintmobile.com/score. The Sixers are back. Joel Embiid, 35 points, 11 rebounds, and easily his best performance as he returns from those knee issues.
Big W then for the Sixers. I love it.
Actually, I'm now being told Embiid did that in a 117-111 loss in Memphis.
Philly
has dropped 5 in a row, 2-12 overall. And Paul George got hurt again last night. Head coach Nick Nurse was asked if they can rule out structural damage to George's left knee.
I think so. I think they said it was similar to last time, which was a bone bruise, I think.
Or they're just going to take the whole leg off. George hurt that same knee in the preseason.
Can you be less confident about any answer?
He missed the first 5 games of this season with a similar injury.
It's like, so you going to see your in-laws for the holidays? Like, I think so.
Are you going to watch Steelers-Browns tonight? I think so.
Why does it seem like everyone who works for the Sixers, this is their first rodeo in being in the NBA? Just everything. Joel Embiid, how he talks to the media, maybe I show up for games. Nick Nurse doesn't know how to talk to the media either. They have to do team meetings 1 week into the season. Like, what the hell's going on?
I'm taking a victory lap on my skepticism of the Paul George signing, because you guys thought it was at least possible. Dude's 35. They gave him $200 million. He's never been healthy his entire career, and now it's going to turn around? That's why they're a joke, and that's my team. They're an absolute joke.
They're getting it all out of the way now.
Yeah, but they're load managing to the point, like, you can't load manage to the point where you're 10 and 60.
In the East, you might be able to.
That's fair.
2-12, not out of it.
They're like 2 games back of the Nets for the 10th spot.
I say in the East, I'll give you a first round matchup with the Knicks.
Yeah.
How bad this conference is.
We'll get to the Knicks in just a second.
People wonder why no one wants to watch the NBA.
The Clippers cooled off the Magic last night, 104-93, extending their home win streak to 6. James Harden, 24 points and 5 assists. Orlando had won 6 in a row. The Warriors thumped the Hawks, 120-97. The Cavs bouncing back from their first loss of the season, 128-100 over the Pelicans. Ty Jerome, a career-high 29. And the Knicks won in Phoenix.
Brunson tries reverse layup as he goes high to low. And the Suns will take a timeout. 131-112. Could be a white flag moment for Mike Budenholzer with 3:41 to go in the fourth.
Jalen Brunson scored 36. Karl Anthony Towns had 34 in a 138-122 victory over the Suns. Mike Budenholzer's team has lost 5 straight, 6 of 7, all without the injured Kevin Durant.
While there's things that we need to work on and improve, you know, the competitiveness of our group has been in a good place when we were winning. And I would still say the same thing right now while we're struggling.
The Knicks, by the way, have won 4 in a row.
I'm very happy to talk about the Knicks, but he's talking about competitiveness. Mm. They just did not show up in that first quarter. They were not competitive at all. They looked like they quit. I don't know what the hell the Suns were doing last night.
Mm.
There's a new women's basketball 3-on-3 league coming in January. Players revealed yesterday, and Caitlin Clark was not included. There were two wild card spots left open. She's not expected to take one of those either. Gino Auriemma is now the winningest coach in Division I history, women's or men's. Victory number 1,217 came last night over FDU, the UConn coach breaking his tie with former Stanford coach Tara Vanderveer. George Kittle says he'll be back from his hamstring injury this weekend at Lambeau. Brock Purdy and his sore shoulder put in a limited practice for the Niners yesterday. Braves lefty Chris Sale and Tigers lefty Tarek Skubal are your Cy Youngs. Skubal winning unanimously. And hockey last night, Buffalo a 1-0 win in L.A. Toronto blank Vegas 3-0 in Seattle. Shut out Nashville 3-0. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thank you so much. Okay, we got some twin questions for you. Steelers a Super Bowl contender. What do you think, yes or no? And the movie you saw way too young. It doesn't just have to be scary movies that you saw too young. There's other movies you could have seen too young.
Yeah, EJ went with My Girl.
Yeah.
Which is an unusual, not scary, but I get it.
You
got to totally
face your mortality when you're 8.
Yeah.
That movie came out in 1991. I was born in 1991, so I probably saw it when I was like 5 or 6. I was probably very young.
Yeah, that had a long run on cable. That was always on.
Well, the other part, too, it's like, well, it's Macaulay Culkin.
Right.
Is he Home Alone?
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Like, nope, he died from a bee sting.
Yeah, because I recognized the kid, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I like him. And then if you're a kid, like, that feels like very possible to you.
That's true.
You're always in a playground. Yeah. You're always outside.
We're veering into another category, veering into the movie that made you cry, which we've done before.
Well, that's because, every movie for me.
Yeah, yeah. Then I'd rather do the scary movie talk. I don't like movies that make you cry. If you saw me at the end of Mitchell's versus the Machines or Inside Out 1, if you're a parent who doesn't cry at Inside Out 1, you should have to give up your kids because you have no heart.
That's it. Child services.
Inside Out 2 also made me cry, but Inside Out 1 particularly, oh my God.
Someone just standing next to your eye ducts, like waiting for some moisture to come out.
Oh my
All
gosh.
Right, when, keep your kid.
When the kid has to get rid of the memory elephant Bing Bong, it is everybody in the theater was wailing, crying, wailing. It was crazy.
That's not scarring for a kid. A bunch of adults weeping.
Oh, and the kids were crying. Everyone was hugging. That's a cry movie.
855-212-4227. Okay, we've got meetings upon meetings upon meetings for one player. Is he going to be worth it? We'll get to that next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, across the country on the Infinity Sports Network. Steelers-Browns tonight. I'm the only one excited about it because I'm the only one around here who thinks that the Steelers are actually a Super Bowl contender. A legit one. We also got into a conversation about the movie that scared you as a kid, the one that you watched just a little bit too early. Ron is in Cleveland where the game is this evening. Ron, are you excited?
Little bit, yeah. I will say also I am a transplant in Cleveland from Pittsburgh. So
living in behind enemy lines. So do you agree with me that your Steelers are a legit Super Bowl contender?
Absolutely. The only reason why I say that is they're getting healthier on defense now, which they already have a good defense, healthier on the offensive line. I think Russell Wilson will get better as the season goes on. So definitely a contender.
Ron, great points. Highsmith, I don't think, is playing tonight. The last we saw in the injury report, yeah. But he will be back this season. So on the defense, that's awesome. Offensive line also getting healthier. And Ron made a good point there, underscoring. Remember, Russell Wilson injured his calf in the, when you arrive at a new team, the conditioning test.
Right, pushing a sled.
Pushing a sled.
Yeah.
Dude had no preseason. He had nothing. He's still getting to know this offensive coordinator and this offense, and it hasn't been like fireworks. I get that. But unlocking Pickens has been good. The run game's going to be stout. I don't know if they have enough weapons. They certainly don't, which is why they were linked to every wide receiver under the sun this offseason and even into the trade deadline. They got they tried, right? But here's the thing. There's still another gear, I think, that this offense has.
Oh, I don't know. That really? I feel like Tomlin would never go to there. If he does have another gear, he's going to keep it in the gear he's in. He likes this gear. Isn't that, are they in Mike Tomlin gear, which is slow and steady? wins the race?
I think that there's also an idea that that has not won you the race so far. So
I don't see that. Like, you really think that they, with Arthur Smith, who is also slow and steady, I don't think they're interested in the next gear.
Well,
they like a little downfield passing. That's why they went to Russ. But they're still not, certainly not, like, greatest show on turf.
No, they're not. But no one's expecting them to be that.
Right.
I think that if you get better in the red zone, which a team can get better in the red zone as the season goes on, then you've solved a lot of your problems. Because Russ now, you know, the middle of the field is not the issue. It's just being more productive in the red zone. And I think that's something that can be fixed, especially because Arthur Smith has had offenses that were good in the red zone in the past.
My concern is they get into Kansas, they play Kansas City in the playoffs, and they're like, we're going to commit to the run, and Kansas City is going to get them in a bunch of third and eights, and Chris Jones is going to murder Russell Wilson. Just a conservative style of the Steelers. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe they're not. I just think that that is going to lend itself to trouble against these elite defenses, and your defense, Buffalo too, could probably handle that. I just don't like Tomlin is just so conservative, and maybe tonight we see, we're not going to see it in the rain tonight. Maybe we see, also TJ Watt's numbers are way down too. I don't know what's up with that.
So the other part of this is the ball control. I mean, that's the way that you're going to beat Kansas City, right? You just got to try to keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands and limit the amount of drives he has. And that's how Buffalo won that game last week against Kansas City. They had to go for it on a 4th-and-2 because they couldn't afford to just kick a field goal and then give Patrick Mahomes all this time. You got to do a little of that also, be aggressive.
Yeah, but I don't think Kansas City's going to mail in a game against the Steelers like they did last week against the Buffalo.
I love it. They weren't trying. Rock's in Atlanta. Good morning, Rock.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
We're great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. One thing that I want to say about a movie or a documentary, I don't know if y'all old enough to remember, was Faces of Death. Documentary of Bruce, what's that?
Every young man had to watch that movie. Everybody I know has seen it. It's terrible.
Wait, it's a documentary?
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
One thing that terrified me is this guy was in a parachute, and the current took him out of his natural state of location to drop, and it took him into a gator.
Wait,
so
what?
I don't have to say what transpired on that event.
Wait a minute, Rock. Who goes parachuting near a gator pit?
No, the wind current had blew him past his drop location, and he couldn't combat the winds. It was just an unexpected current, I guess, wind current. I don't know about the weather, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But he could not control to get the steer away from it. So he fell in the pit, and needless to say, we know what happened.
Wait. I don't remember that. I remember there was... This is Faces of Death. We saw a different movie.
I mean, it was literally like 5 or 6 parts of this documentary.
Right. Wasn't there one where a cop was called in to fish an alligator out of a backyard pool, and he goes out and then the gator pulls him in and eats him on camera?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Is this like some weird America's Funniest Home Videos bizarro version?
Like no, it's like a it's like an early snuff film, but it was very, very popular. They eat a live monkey at the end.
Who does?
Yeah, brains.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a tradition in somewhere.
Oh, like it's...
My stepdad, he inducted me into that thing, and it stayed with me for up until now.
It's horrible. So, it's terrible.
This is why therapists are employed, you know?
And very rich.
Yeah. $200 an hour, Rock. They'll get that right. They'll straighten that out. Just take the rest of your life. Thank you, Rock.
No, that's
I've never heard of this movie before, Faces of Death.
Yeah, I don't even know. It was like a VHS type. I don't know when it came out. If it was
78, right. I'm looking at 1978.
Yeah, but I don't think it came out in the theaters. Like, it was more like an underground tape that got passed around from teenage male to teenage male for years and years and years. In fact, I think it's still around. Like, people talk about it.
Okay, it's a mockumentary. It's not a documentary, according to IMDb. It's fake, guys. Am I just breaking this to you?
Fake?
They're faked scenes of people getting killed, intermittent with real footage. Okay, so there is some real footage.
That's not fake. The movie I saw. Like, literally, there's no way they could have faked some of this stuff. Like, you see them cut open the monkey's brain.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy.